In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When we read the history of Jesus' earthly ministry in the Bible, one thing that attracts our attention is Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees. What attracts our attention especially is the bitter hatred the self-righteous Pharisees had toward Jesus. They were the ones who found fault with Jesus for doing what they consider unlawful on the Sabbath. They were the ones who said Jesus cast out demons by the power of Satan. They were the ones who asked Jesus to show some sign from heaven that he was the promised Christ, but would not believe on him when he performed miracles. They were the ones who tried to trick Jesus into saying something which would cause them to condemn him. Just before our text, we are told that the Pharisees challenged Jesus because of what he said about himself. Our text continues that conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees, centering on the topic of Jesus' person. Some might wonder why such a conversation should concern us today. Why should we preach about this? It concerns us and should be of concern to everybody because it is a conversation that has eternal consequences, a conversation that has to do with eternal life in heaven or eternal death in hell. Whether or not people believe in Jesus determines whether they will perish in hell or have eternal life in heaven. Here in John 8, we pick up themes that were already there in John 3, a chapter that ends with these words, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." So then, both because of our own salvation and because of our concern for what happens to others, because of the salvation that is within us, let's look more closely at John 8. After repeated clashes with the Pharisees, Jesus said, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." When Jesus said this, he was preaching the law of God in all of its severity to these Pharisees. Jesus spoke harsh words to them, for they needed to hear something that would wake them up spiritually. They needed to know that if they followed their present course of unbelief, they would end up in hell. So though Jesus' words sounded very harsh, they were spoken in sympathetic mercy because Jesus wanted these people to be saved. Let's go a little deeper. First, he said, "I am going away." Jesus had been with these folks for some time. He had preached, performed miracles, and in so many ways had shown them that he was the promised Messiah. Yet they had rejected him in their unbelief. So now he would leave them and return to his heavenly Father, and they would be left in their unbelief. Then Jesus told them, "You will look for me." Jesus means that these unbelieving Jews would seek a Messiah after Jesus was gone. They would look for help, grace, comfort, and salvation. They would seek redemption from sin, Satan, death, and hell. And we see from history how Jesus' words have come true. Even today, nearly 2,000 years after he spoke these words, there are Jewish people still seeking the promised Messiah. How vain their searching for Christ would be, Jesus indicates by telling them, "You will die in your sin." To die in sin means to die without the forgiveness of sins, and so to suffer everlasting damnation. Finally, Jesus told these Pharisees, "Where I go, you cannot come." And what a contrast this is to Jesus' words that will come later in John. In John 14, "I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am." But he told these unbelieving Jews just the opposite. Where I go, you cannot come. In other words, he told them that they would be forever separated from God in hell. They would not go to heaven. And how did these Pharisees react to this preaching of Jesus? They reacted by ridiculing his words. They ask, will he kill himself? Is that what he says? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? The loving and patient Savior ignored this ridicule, and he continued, you are from below. I am from above. You are not of this world. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Jesus told the Pharisees that they were of this world, that is, sinful and only concerned with the things of this life and this world. But he was sinless, not of this world, from above, the Father's Son sent from heaven as the Christ, the Anointed One. This text then very clearly teaches what happens to people who do not believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They remain in their sins, and when death comes, they still have to pay for their sins in hell. Now, it is indeed true that God sent his Son for the whole world of sinners. Jesus said it very clearly to Nicodemus in that John chapter 3 that prefigured this John chapter 8 section. And we know the words so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But it didn't end there. Jesus goes on to teach Nicodemus, but if people do not believe in him, they are lost. And so we read in John 3:18, whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The Pharisees then finally asked Jesus, who are you? And Jesus told them just what I have been claiming all along throughout John chapter 8. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. Jesus told the Jews that he was the one whom he had claimed to be, that is, the Christ. He was sent by the Father in heaven, and in all his preaching he had spoken the truth that he had heard from his Father in heaven. Jesus told them that it is the Father who sent him, and the Father was reliable. That is, he is the holy God who is truth himself, and whatever he says is true. But the Jews did not understand that Jesus was speaking of the Heavenly Father. So Jesus went on to say, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that who I am, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And even as Jesus then spoke these words as his lifting up on the cross, and they began to understand his crucifixion, then some began to believe. And we see this also prefigured in John chapter 3. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven. The Son of Man, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. When we hear here in the end of our lesson from John 8 that some of the Jews believed on Jesus, this should comfort us in our work of preaching the gospel and supporting the preaching of the gospel. This work is never in vain, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. As we send many of you forth as servants of Jesus Christ in just over a week, you will teach the faithful that Jesus is the one that he claimed to be, the one sent by the Heavenly Father for our salvation. Everything that Jesus ever said of himself is true. He said that he was the Christ sent by God. He foretold that he would be betrayed into the hands of the Jewish rulers and that they would condemn him and that he would be crucified and on the third day rise again. Whatever Jesus foretold about himself came true. He was betrayed. He was condemned by the Jewish rulers. He was crucified. He did rise again on the third day. He said he would return to the Father in heaven, and so he did. On the 40th day after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven. He said he would send the Holy Spirit to his followers to comfort and guide them, and so he did. On the 50th day after his resurrection, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the followers of Christ. All of this is overwhelming evidence that Jesus is the Christ. And it is this evidence that lives within us, and it is this evidence in us that is the testimony that we are given to speak. And as we speak it, and as we teach it, we will reach others for Christ. And in so doing, we help to carry out that mission that this place has set before it, that we do indeed raise up here servants of Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. In the name of Jesus.